Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you the service today. We want to remind you about the Zoom fellowship that's right after the service. Please join us in that. If you have not joined, you'll find it to be a really exciting experience. You get to fellowship with others and hear music and discussion about the lesson, and a lot of exciting things go on. You can find that link in either the e-newsletter or the weekly update that comes out. So we look forward to seeing you in Zoom right after this, and we'll get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, March the 7th. The key words are world peace, and the affirmation is celebrating diversity and affirming unity. I am a presence of peace in the world. The road to world peace begins with my open-hearted acceptance of those who are different than me. Our world is vast and diverse, and its people come from a wide variety of cultures and histories. The more I learn about those whose lives differ from mine, the more I can appreciate their perspectives and empathize with their struggles. When I make the decision to understand others, I discover that judgment fades in the light of compassion. Today, I sow peace through my acceptance and understanding. Peace in the world grows as I join my brothers and sisters in celebrating the glory of human diversity and affirming oneness in God. And the scripture is Isaiah 2:4. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. And that was a great daily word reading, because that's exactly what we'll be talking about today. So that was a good intro to today's talk. So we're in part three of the Lent journey that we're on, and it's called Release and Renew Spiritual Practice for Lent 2021, part three. And to set the stage, hopefully many of you have been able to download your own personal copy of the 2021 Lent booklet, which you can, again, the links are both in the e-newsletter and in the weekly update, that you can actually download it for yourself, either, you know, a PDF on your computer, or I think you can order a copy of it. But I want to set the stage. Pamela set the stage very well for this talk today with that daily word reading. That was a really good one, all right? And I want you to listen to this reading. It's a little bit of a long reading, but I'm going to let you follow along with me. And it's from the Lent Booklet 2021, and it's from today, Sunday's March 7th reading. And it says, our supreme all-encompassing reality, is that we are individualized divine creation of God, a wonderful, brilliant thought in the mind of God. This is who we are, have been, and always will be, regardless of the fact that events in the material world are trying to convince us to believe differently. However, our less than supreme reality, let me say that again, our less than supreme reality is that which is founded in our fears, which is unfortunately occupies a large chunk of many of our days when we let it. In this less than supreme reality, we have enemies, people and radical activists that don't like us, who don't look like us, who don't think like us, or believe what we believe. They are individuals who don't like us, who could harm us. But all while, you know, this crazy duality experience is taking place, there is in the midst of the chaos, the peace of God, which each of us possess. The peace of God never went away, even though it may appear as if it has, because it cannot go away. The peace of God is here and now. And when we focus our immediate attention and prayers upon it, the nightmares disintegrate. Because after all, they were never real. From within our God self, it is safe to see all as one. Not only is it safe, it is true and wonderful. What gets crucified from within our God self is the illusion of separation that causes us to become fearful, angry, and disillusioned. Okay, so now you can see why I was saying that daily word was so on point. It's very much on point with today's reading. So the daily word and then the reading from the Lent booklet, you know, are all kind of in tune. And the thing is, when we read, you know, spiritual writings like that, you know, such as the one we just went over, they're always so poetic, you know, meaning having an imaginative way of expressing spiritual ideas and possibilities in a sensitive emotional style of writing. So the question to ponder is, are we inspired to embrace and live from the spiritual ideals and possibilities that are written in Scripture and in other expressions of about our divine, you know, potential, our divine possibilities? You know, and as the opening reading expressed, can we embrace the idea that our supreme, all-encompassing reality is that we are an individualized creation of God, that we are a wonderful, brilliant thought in the mind of God, and that with God, all things are possible. So that's the important part, because based on what is happening in the world and in the country right now, we may think some things are not possible. And even in some of the discussions that are going on, it talks about how it's been such a long time in trying to bring about the peace that we're looking for. I don't know how many of you watching Soul of a Nation. It's a series that just started, very powerful. If you have not started watching that, Soul of a Nation, there are discussions going on about the challenges that we're having in this country. Now, and so that's one side of it. The other side is, are we more inclined, instead of being more inclined to believe that with God all things are possible and understand that we are individualized expression of God, are we more inclined to embrace our less than supreme reality, which is founded in our fears, having us believing that we have enemies, whether it be the pandemic or the individuals who don't like us, who want to harm us, you know, is that more in line with what we're thinking? Okay. And the challenge with these two opposing questions is, it is possible that in our minds, spiritual ideas or ideals are abstract or sort of pie in the sky, while the enemy, what we would call the enemy, is very real to us with consequences that could harm us. Okay, so which are you capable of doing? Is the one, the spiritual ideals, more abstract compared to the right in our face dynamics of what is happening, you know, again, with the pandemic and all the other unrest that's going on? You know, which one is taking up the most space in our minds, so to speak? And if you look at the American idiom, pie in the sky, which was coined in 1911 by a person named Joe Hill, it refers to a promise of something good happening in the future, something that we are not really sure will actually take place, such as when you say, God will provide, or God will protect, okay? We say those things, but the key is, do we really believe them down to the very core of our being? And it is not that we do not believe that God will provide or God will protect. It has more to do with the fact that the fear created around the challenges, such as the pandemic and the social unrest in this country, might be claiming a greater amount of territory in our consciousness and leaving very little room for God. Okay, and let's be clear, we are not in any way negating the severity of the pandemic and the social unrest in our country, because as Jesus expressed in Matthew 22:21, and this is a I think I used this last week, He said, render unto, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Now, in this scenario, Caesar typically represents the material world. So you're saying, render to the material world those things that need to be rendered to the material world. But he said also, render to God those things that which need to be rendered to God. So in this scenario, Caesar would represent the pandemic and the social unrest and all the other challenges in our country. Okay, and we must give them the respect, time, and attention required to deal with them. Right? But the challenge with the material life is that it demands so much of our attention that it can take us away from our practice of connecting with first cause, which is God. Okay, and for those who might be the first time hearing God referred to as first cause, the idea of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God being I am that I am, that means infinite potentiality. I am the infinite potentiality of the universe. Nothing in particular, but everything possible. Okay. And so when we're tapped into that first cause, we're able to use it to create good in our lives, okay? So that's what I'm saying. If what is happening in the world is creating so much fear in us that it's taking away us from practicing connecting with first cause, which is God, then when we say something like God will protect or God will provide, that's when we have a challenge because we haven't been able to spend enough time making that connection, okay? So what we're dealing with in the material world are the effects. Okay, the manifestation of our mental emotional reactions to the material life. And remember last week we talked about, you know, you might be saying, well, I had nothing to do with creating the pandemic or the racial unrest. That's not what I was thinking. Okay, but we have to understand if we've been having these mental emotional reactions to the material life, we're putting out an energy of fear that connected with all the other energies of fear ends up manifesting and producing something like we might be experiencing now. And again, this takes away from, you know, from the practice we use to keep us connected to the first cause. What's happening in the world can take us away from our practices that keep us connected to first cause. First cause being the divine aspect of our being, which gives us the power to live within the effects of the material life without becoming disconnected from the God of our being. Okay, let me say that again, okay? We want to be able to do the work, all right, to develop the power within ourselves, to live within the effects of the material life without becoming disconnected from the God of our being. As Jesus said, I am in the world, but I'm not of it, okay? I'm in the world trying to bring my good, my love, my compassion, you know, as the Daily Word was saying, trying to bring all the good that God is into the world, and I'm bringing it into these effects, okay, without letting myself being sucked into it, which would take me away from my connection, all right? So again, it's not that we shouldn't be vigilant. Let's just be clear here. It is not that we shouldn't be vigilant, because living in an ever-changing material world, we have to be vigilant, okay? As Jesus expressed, you know, always watch and pray, okay? That's Matthew 26:41, always watch and pray. But in addition to being watchful, it is our work to remain the conduit for faith when all around us is channeling fear. Okay, we want to remain that conduit through which faith is pouring out from us and hitting, you know, touching all the people around us, as opposed to, you know, we don't want to be a channel for fear. We read in Philippians 2:1, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Okay? So, and yes, I'll say again, you know, in these challenging times, you know, none of this is easy, okay? But as Valerie Kaur, I think you see her now, she's the one we listened to last week, that powerful talk that she gave. She's the founder of the Revolutionary Love Project, and she expressed this in that talk. She says, I can feel the spirit of ever-rising optimism breaking through the darkness, okay? I can feel the spirit of ever-rising optimism breaking through the darkness. So it is our work as true students, to be the spirit of ever-rising optimism, okay? The light in the midst of the darkness. And yes, as always, I'll keep acknowledging this. Easier said than done, okay? But in the words of John Legend's song, he says, with faith, we will never break. I love that song. With faith, it actually says, we will never break. I added that, with faith, we will never break. Okay? But I love his song. But again, releasing, letting go, letting God be in charge of our life and affairs is at the core of our spiritual practice. And Father Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G, I watched a video of him. It's a 3-minute video explaining the idea of releasing, letting go, and using the contemplative life to do that. Powerful. I couldn't even, you know, repeat it. You would have to really listen to him say it, and I'm going to have it available just in case folks say, oh, I'm going to hear it, all right, because it's only 3 minutes long. But anyway, that's the idea. Releasing, letting go, letting God be in charge of our life and affairs is at the core of our spiritual practice. But the question for us to ponder is whether or not, at some level, we feel it is somehow irresponsible to not worry or be concerned about the myriad of demands and challenges that life is presenting us with right now. You know, letting go may even seem impractical as well as impossible, but it's important that we understand that the spiritual path isn't about not getting involved with what is occurring in the material world, okay, because it is very much about being involved in whatever way your spirit is guiding you to be involved. Okay, so none of this is saying about, you know, sitting in a corner and just meditating this, you know, hoping it all goes away. It's about being involved, right? But it's about being involved and staying connected and being involved in the way your spirit is guiding you to be involved, right? So what we are talking about is not, you know, becoming lost in the challenges of these times, that so that we forget, you know, to render unto God the things that are God. That's the key. We don't want to get caught up in the things that are going in this time, so that we do not render to God the things that are God, you know, that are God's. And that's making the time for prayer and meditation and being mindful of the power and presence of God in our lives, guiding us through all that we do. Okay. Now, for our spiritual life to truly expand, we need to constantly remember that there is the Spirit of God within us that is far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Right? And you all know that. And that Spirit is God. Okay. Thought continuously being projected into our minds as divine ideas. Let me say that again. That Spirit of God, okay, or that Spirit is God thought continuously being projected into our minds as divine ideas that will lead us through all of our endeavors to invoke change, right? So the revealing word explains that the Spirit of God watches every detail of our life. The Spirit of God watches every detail of our life. And when we, by affirmation, proclaim its presence, it brings new life into our body and prosperity into our affairs. Okay, so Jesus promised that when, you know, he left the earth, he said, God will send the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all we need to know, thereby bringing us back to our, bringing our body, mind, and spirit back into remembrance of who we really are. Okay? So without being, not really knowing it, you know, when we pray, the awareness of the Holy Spirit is what we're asking for in that prayer. Right. I don't care what we pray for. What we're really praying for is asking for the Holy Spirit to bring our mind, body, and spirit back into alignment with spirit. Okay, and whatever our prayer need is, you know, what we're asking for, whatever the prayer need, what we're asking for is the Holy Spirit. Meaning we're asking for God to express in our lives and affairs. Okay. Now, this is how the Holy Spirit is explained in the revealing word. It says, the Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look to it for guidance. The Holy Spirit's mission is to bring all into communion with God, to guide us so that we will know the true way to come into the light and love of God. Okay? So how do we learn how to let go in these crucial times when our fears flare up? Okay. So Sufi Kamir Helminski says, the ability to let go of our fear in the midst of life's challenges is a matter of our heart rather than our head. Okay. He says, how do you know if your heart is awake, sensitive, and functioning, as opposed to being constricted and numb? Okay. This is how he explains that. All right. He says, when your heart is not functioning, okay, as it is meant to, you perceive things that are not really happening, and you project dramas that actually only exist in your mind. But to the extent that your heart is open and healthy, you perceive that you live in a very tender universe, and you begin to see the tender aspects of others, even if they are not being tender and loving. Okay. Again, like I said, that's one of those, you know, things that we hear, and it sounds wonderful, but it's the practice that's the dynamic of it. It is the practice. And when we find ourselves in turmoil, it is usually because instead of being mindful of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we are being forgetful. And as we know from previous studies, the practice of mindfulness is a practice of letting go. You cannot be mindful of the Holy Spirit being active in your life and affairs and hold on to your psychological, emotional baggage at the same time. Learning to let go is the key to releasing the psychological, emotional baggage that keeps us living in the past. And I don't think we can say that enough. Okay, a lot of the things you hear me saying, we say them every week, and then we hopefully build upon them. Okay, but there are some basic ideas here that we always have to live by and practice. You know? So it's probably a good idea at this point to review the four principles of the practice of mindfulness from Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Transformation and Healing. Okay? And he explains the first principle for practicing mindfulness is coming to the realization that all is mind. Okay, all things are based on consciousness, meaning simply that we must avoid thinking that the situation or circumstance we are observing, obsessing over, worrying about, or coveting is independent of our mind. Right? There is nothing out there that you are observing and defining as good or bad, right or wrong, that is independent of what is occurring in your mind. Okay. Now, is that something we hear all the time? All right, but again, we keep hearing it from different sources. All right, that's that Carl Jung thing of circumambulation. You keep hearing the same thing from different sources. So our work in the practice of mindfulness is to at least become aware of those times when we slip into negative, fear-based thinking, you know, telling ourselves stories about the challenges we're facing that frighten us. Okay. Now, paraphrasing and taking, I'm sort of taking this a little bit out of the concept in which it was said. And this is Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She's a Nigerian writer, and this is what she says. To insist on thinking about only negative, fearful stories is to flatten our experience and overlook the many other stories that formed us. The fearful stories create stereotypes. And the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue or incomplete. It is that they make the stories about fear become our only story. And the consequence of the fearful story is that it robs us of our faith, our courage, and our dignity. Okay. Now, the second principle to review for practicing mindfulness to observe is to be one with the object being observed. Let me say it again. The second principle of mindfulness is to observe, is to be one with the object being observed. Now, Thich Nhat Hanh in his book, Transformation and Healing, explains, he says, when the nature of the observing mind is mindfulness, The observing mind does not lose itself in the person or circumstance being observed. Rather, it transforms a situation by illuminating it. Okay? So the practice of becoming one with what is being observed is for the purpose of understanding, and then through your understanding to open yourself up to be transformed and illuminated. Okay? Now again, using some of the wisdom from Chimamanda and applying it to the racial distress in the country, all right? And again, I am paraphrasing and I'm taking some of her words out of the context in which she was using them, but I think they fit well here. So let me just go share with that with me. If we keep telling a single story about a people as being one thing and the only thing over and over again, that story will become what they are in our minds. And it makes our recognition of our equal humanity difficult. It emphasizes how we are different rather than how we are similar. Stories can break the dignity of a people, but different stories can also repair that broken dignity. Okay? That is really powerful to think about. Okay? So instead of being illuminating and transforming, fear-based stories darken and diminish our connection with the Holy Spirit. No matter how true those fear-based stories might be. That's the argument we'll get into. We'll say, yeah, I'm afraid, but what I'm afraid of is true, okay? It is, remember we said, it is a fact, but it is not the truth, okay? So the third principle for practicing mindfulness from Thich Nhat Hanh is our true spiritual or Christ mind and our ego mind, our true spiritual or Christ mind and our ego mind are but two aspects of the same mind. And again, I think we talked about that in a different way last week. Okay, so I think we spoke about it last week. So the question is, moment by moment, which aspect of our mind do we choose to express from? Okay, and that's the thing you always want to. That's the pray and watch. Pray and watch. Which side of my ego mind? And last week we called it the ego mind. What side of my ego mind am I operating from? Pam and I just watched the new, Tom and Jerry on Disney Plus. It's really fun if you got Disney Plus, you can watch it. And again, it was a thing where, you know, the devil on one side and the angel on the other, all right? That's sort of the two aspects of the ego mind. But anyway, the fourth principle for practicing mindfulness is the way of no conflict. The way of no conflict. And as we work with the practice of letting go, we will find ourselves in a battle with our old stuff, our old habits and cravings of our body and mind. And thus we seek to suppress these old feelings in our quest to be more spiritual. And as we know, this causes an inner conflict to arise. Okay? So the idea of the fourth principle is to observe and acknowledge where you are psychologically and emotionally right now, but not to become entangled in an inner battle to overcome it, okay? Again, our mantra for the practice of mindfulness in this fourth step is no conflict, no violence, especially within ourselves, okay? So I think that's enough to think about right now. We're going to end with a reading from a past Lent booklet to wrap this up. And it says, you know, today is a day of letting go. Let go of the questions of your heart, the whys, the what-ifs, and all the hows. They are not essential in this moment. Let go of the urge to analyze and ponder. Release everything to God. Let it all be lifted up from your shoulders like a feather on a breeze. And let your mind and heart be light. It is in the letting go that you find strength. Let go of the past. You are free to experience this moment to its fullest. Release your concerns about tomorrow and live for today. Give all else to God. Relax in God's presence and let God's love sustain you. Let God's peace be enough for the day. Let go and be renewed. And so it is. Amen. All right. And we will now have meditation with Pamela.
So let's now find that comfortable space right where you are, placing your feet flat on the floor and laying your hands gently in your lap if you desire. Please take these words that I speak now as your own. I can handle any circumstance by tapping into the wisdom within me and all around me. I begin by breathing slowly and naturally. Every breath deepens as I gently let go, exhaling tension and worry. I turn within and focus on my heart, relaxing into the presence of spirit. I embrace this truth. I can handle any circumstance by tapping into the wisdom within me and all around me. God is wisdom within me and all around me. Whenever I need to find answers, I seek within. My spiritual powers of discernment, intuition, and evaluation are active and strong. I am open and aware, one with divine guidance that is constantly present. I am in tune with my emotions, perceiving the messages they bring. When I am uncertain or overwhelmed, I become centered and still, listening for the inner wisdom to speak. In times of unknowing, I am at ease knowing that insight and understanding will come. Fully aware of my environment, I open to all that aligns with my inner knowing. I trust my intuition and act confidently on the direction I perceive. When I am guided in unexpected ways, I have faith in the process. My certainty grows as time and time again, wisdom will lead me to my good. I am divine and wise, and so too are all of those I hold in prayer. I envision their blessings unfolding, trusting their divine judgments to bring forth their highest good. The future before me is filled with possibilities. I give thanks for the ocean of wisdom, the infinite divine resource that is eternally present. I affirm joy, peace, and abundant blessings as I tap into the wisdom within and all around me. I now enter into the secret place of the Most High and give all my worries, fears, and doubts over to the wisdom of Spirit. I now join with you in affirming that spiritual wisdom, discernment, intuition, and evaluation is your true nature. In the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks, and so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and be a blessing in your world.
Thank you, Heather. They all kind of blended together today. That was great. This is a time we open our hearts and minds and allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives that flow into our spiritual home. And as always, we send out our heartwarming thanks for all of the wonderful blessings you've been sending and continue to send. So with that in mind, let's do hold your offering in your hand, in your heart. I know many of you give with automatic giving, and we really appreciate that. And, you know, just hold all of those in your heart, in your hand, in your mind, and let's bless our offering together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, and you have light notes?
And I have light notes, yes. Okay. So these are the light notes for today, March the 7th. Fillable commitment forms are available online. If you filled one out in the past, we ask that you fill out a new one each year. The commitment form is your way to support your spiritual home and express how you will support it for 2021. Thank you for your continuous, generous support. We are seeking folks to fill positions for our Unity Center of Light Board of Trustees starting April 2021. Please see the candidate form in your weekly updates. We are also forming a bylaws team to review our Unity Center of Light bylaws and formulate recommended bylaws changes to align us with the unprecedented situations like we face now. Please email Patty if you would like to perform sacred service in this way. Our virtual annual family meeting is on Sunday, April the 25th at 1 p.m., so be sure to mark your calendars for that. For further information regarding these announcements, you may go to the weekly updates and click on the attachments. That concludes our light notes for today.
All right. So are we ready to bless the path we will walk this week?
Yes, we're going to bless the path, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy and prosperous, and I am grateful.
Now let's do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. It's been a pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope you have a wonderful week. It's a nice warm week coming up, some nice warm days. Yeah. And we hope to see you in Zoom right after this. But other than that, have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.